We're continuing our thoughts in the book of Galatians, and I want to direct our thoughts to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. Reading from verse 26, it says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." This passage of Scripture is dealing with the sons of God that are living by faith. I want to go over the different words in verse 26, and then I want to translate that verse for us. In verse 26, it says, "For ye are all the actually rather than children sons of God by faith, unfailing faith." Really, we'll look at that. He is addressing brethren. By addressing brethren, he is speaking to those who are seeking to enter into the kingdom of the heavens. Not just saved, but those who are aggressively seeking to please the Father by preparing themselves to enter into the coming kingdom. So, in Galatians 1:11, it affirms the fact that he's talking to brethren when he says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men." And then again in chapter 3 in verse 15, he makes reference to brethren there. The word "are" comes from a verb "to be." It's in the present tense. And it's actually translated "endure" in Mark chapter 4, verse 17. "And have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time." The word "endure" and the word are the same Greek word. They're both the be verb. It's just translated "endure." Continuing. It's in the present tense. They're both in the present tense, so it has to do with endurance. The word "children" should be translated "sons." And in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The word "children" and the word "sons" are the same word. And another translation for this verse is in verse 14. It's, "For as by the Abba Spirit of God are being led, these sons of God endure." The word "endure" is also can be translated there too. So, this is talking about position in the family. It's talking about maturity, growing up. You expect a son to act different than a child. When you tell a son to do something, you expect it to be done. When you tell a child, a little child, to do something, you allow him not to from time to time, but you continue to nurture him, and so that he can begin to be responsible and can be counted on. And that's the same way in the family of God. The Lord allows us to mess up and in our early experience with him, but he expects us to grow up. And so this passage of Scripture is dealing with maturity and growing up. So, this verse 26 in Galatians 3 is talking about sons. And the sons have a spirit, an Abba spirit, that is, doing the will of the Father. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption," or the spirit of sonship, "whereby we cry, Abba, Father." When you're able to say "Abba" or "Father," you should be a responsible Son of God. That is the language of a son. And when you cry and say, Abba, Father, you are quoting the Lord Jesus Christ as He was in the Garden of Gethsemane when He told the Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Please deliver this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done. He cried, Abba, Father. And by crying, Abba, Father, you acknowledge two things. That God's got the power to do what He wants to, and I need to submit to His authority. That's what it amounts to. That's what a son is able to do. I do want to bring out the fact that we are not yet sons. We are mature. We are to mature and to become adults. But sonship is a position in the family of honor. It's like a bar mitzvah in a Jewish family today, even though it happens at 13 years old. But the point is this, he goes from being a child or a servant in the family to a recognized, honored son in the family. He has a recognition as well as responsibility. And the family expects him to behave accordingly. In other words, you are to put away the childish things and begin to behave in a responsible, accountable way. In Romans chapter 8, verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Creation is waiting for the sons of God to be manifested. And when will the sons of God be manifested? At the judgment seat of Christ. When the children of God are the mature children of God are overcomers and have been judged as overcomers, he that overcometh will be my son, and I will be his God, and he will inherit all things. So he will have a heavenly inheritance. Now, in this verse has to do with faith. This verse is not dealing with getting saved. If we get saved by faith, we can lose our salvation. Because we can quit living by faith. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, it says, in the body of his flesh, through the death, that is Thanatos' death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue, present tense, in the faith, grounded, settled, move not away from the hope of the gospel. Let me just say this. We live by faith. In other words, the just shall live by faith, and we are sons of God by living by faith. And we can stop living by faith, and when you stop living by faith, you have stopped behaving yourself as a son. You have gone back to carnality. And Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. We find that in Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured. He behaved himself as a son. He was the only begotten Son of God, but he behaved himself as a son to help us to know how we are to behave ourselves in our walk here on the earth. And the next word in this verse has to do, it's the faith in, or actually it would be better translated, the faith of Christ. In other words, Christ demonstrated that faith. That's the reason why it's in the genitive case, and that's the reason why the word of can be put in front of the word. It's the faith of Jesus Christ demonstrated to us. And who is Christ? He is our high priest. In Hebrews 9:11, but Christ being come and high priest of the good things to come. Now, I retranslated the verse according to the word order in that word, in that verse. This is the way the Greek puts down the words. And it's interesting. For all sons of God endure through faith of Christ Jesus. That's the order of the Greek words. For all sons of God endure through faith of Christ Jesus. So this has to do with endurance. If you're a son and you're behaving yourself like a son, You are steady. You are faithful in the things of the Lord. And we will see some of those things in just a moment, because the next verse has to do with being baptized into Christ. What does it mean to be baptized into Christ? I was just thinking about the word baptized, as the word means to dip and to immerse. Now, we think of being immersed in water, water baptism. And I think that water baptism is an outward symbol or picture of being immersed in Christ. Obviously, we're not immersed literally in Christ, but I was thinking about being immersed in my high priest. My high priest is all around me. When you bury somebody in a grave, you pile in the dirt, it's all around. When you immerse somebody in water, the water is all around. And when I immerse myself into Christ, I'm immersing myself into His high priestly office. If you don't appropriate the high priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to fail. It's at the throne of grace where our high priest is where we get grace to keep from failing. And so when we think about, for as many of you as have been baptized or immersed into Christ, have put on Christ, and I think that's the emphasis of being baptized into Christ. We have put Him on. And notice it's for myself. It's in the middle voice. That's what the middle voice means in the Greek. I have put on Christ for myself. I have appropriated the high priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ for who? For myself. I go to the throne of grace for who? For myself. And this is what this baptism is dealing with. It has to do with putting on Christ. What does it mean to put on Christ? Well, in Romans chapter 6, we have a similar expression. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, actually the word Christ comes before the word Jesus, the word order there is really changed in the Greek text, and the emphasis is on Christ. We are baptized into Christ in Romans 6, just like we are baptized into Christ in Galatians 3:27. And we were baptized into His death. I think this death here is not the crucifixion on the cross. It could be, but I think it has to do with the Abba Spirit, the Thanatos death in the garden. That makes more sense to me, because what I'm doing when I cry, Abba, Father, I'm dying to myself. I'm dying to my will. I don't have to have my way. If you've got to have your way, you're behaving as a what? A child. Children have got the gimmies and the want-tos and the no's. I think that's the first word they learn. No. They're not going to do that. And I want that. And if I don't get that, boo-hoo. Well, and there are lots of Christians that live just like that before God. So when we see we're baptized into His death, we're baptized into the ability to say, Lord, I know that all things are possible. I know You own all. You have more money than I could ever spend in my lifetime, and You could take care of every problem I have by just, you know, plunking down some money. Anyway, but it's not my will that's important, but it's His will. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into His death. That is the death of my will. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. To put on Christ and to be baptized in Christ has to do with the way you live now. When we baptize in water and you come up out of the water, you really should have been living like you've been raised up out of the water, before you were even baptized into water. In other words, you should be living a life, a mature life, before water baptism. Water baptism doesn't have anything to do with salvation. Water baptism has to do with living for the Lord and denying self. And so, to put on Christ has to do with walking in newness of life. And that's something I do for myself. This is my choice for Christ's sake. Now, in Romans 6:11, we're to reckon ourselves dead indeed to sin. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus. Word orders changed in the Greek text. Our Lord. Notice it says reckon. We all know that we sin. We're not dead to sin, but I can reckon myself to be dead to sin. In other words, to reckon myself to be dead to sin, I have to say that sin does not have to have power over me. When one is dead, no one has any authority over that body. And if we are dead and we reckon ourselves to be dead, that is, we have made a choice not to live in sin, we reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin, then sin is not going to have dominion over me. That's the reason why without the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, without the shedding of blood, there's no deliverance from anything. We need to be delivered from more than just sin. We also need to be delivered from fear, because fear is the bondage. If you're afraid, a lot of people, you'll huddle under, you'll pull up the covers. You'll hide in the closet, Fear puts you in captivity. In fact, high things and every imagination. Do you have any imaginations? Do you ever think, oh, man, I got cancer. Or, oh, I'm going to, this and that. We can have all kinds of fear. And it can bring us into bondage. And you know what God says? We need to take the Word of God and bring our thoughts into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. It's the Word of God that takes away the fear. And it's the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. So we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. And the word alive or living, that's present tense, living unto God through Christ Jesus. It takes the high priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ for us to live present active before God. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 29. I thought about wearing an overcoat this morning, but it's just a little bit warm. And if I had on an overcoat, maybe two of them, really heavy into sin. And then I was going to bring up some shirts and then put those shirts on over my overcoat. Impossible, right? Well, particularly if the shirts are small, I was planning on buying, not buying, but getting a real small shirt and trying to put that shirt in over my overcoat. Well, you know what God wants us to do? There's some things that we need to put off first. There's some things in your life that just don't belong there. And if you got several overcoats of sin on, you got to remove both of them. And it says here in Ephesians 4:22. But ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. What do we bury symbolically? The old man. Now this is a good place to use the term old man. I don't know about the old lady, but the old man anyway. Bury the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. We're eat up with lust. Wants. And they're not needs, they just wants. We do have a few needs, but the wants dominate. But anyway, and we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We need to start changing our minds about the way we live and about what our priorities are. And when we have put off the old man, then it's time to put on the new man. You know what happens if you take off everything? then you're naked and you're ashamed. And you know what can happen then if you don't put something on decent? You start putting the old man back on again. Man, I'm ashamed of my nakedness, so I'll pick up my overcoat of sin and put it on. And that can happen. That's why it's so important to replace the old way of life with a new way of life. Otherwise, the old way of life is going to take charge again. So, we're to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In other words, right living and clean living. You want to do the right thing, you want to live a right way, and you also want to live a holy way. You want to live a clean way. And wherefore, putting away lying, that could be an overcoat, speaking every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another, be ye angry and sin not. You know, I think it'd just be better just to emphasize sin not. Don't live in sin. Being angry and sinning not doesn't mean that the Lord was angry that the people were using the temple as a shopping mall, and he ran them out of there with a little whip. But the point is this: we're not to let the sun go down on our anger. We need to be forgiving. Neither give place to the devil. The devil's trying to move in. Resist the devil, and you know what? He'll flee from us. So don't allow the devil to move in. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. And let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. In other words, if you're stealing, stop it. The Lord doesn't want us to have something for nothing. He wants us to work to get it. And corrupt communications, filthy language. It should not be in your vocabulary, the four-letter words that are going around today. No corrupt communications out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. In other words, what we should be talking about are things that will encourage other people. This is part of the fruit of the Spirit, Abba Spirit. We need to have fruit that will help other people. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 9, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Part of being baptized into Christ has to do with our thinking, the way we think. But we are to putting on Christ has to do with putting on His thought life. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Well, that doesn't apply to us. In other words, we're accept the fact that He allowed God to have His way in His life. We need to do the same thing. But it says He made Himself of no reputation. You worried about your reputation? Forget it. You don't need to have a reputation if you're faithful to the Lord. And took upon Him the form of a servant. We need to know that we are servants. When you become a son, you're no longer a servant. But let me tell you, we are not sons today. We are still servants. We're servants of each other. And we're servants of God. I've always liked to think of it in terms of this. Servants of servants. When servants have servants, how low are you? I tell you, that's pretty low when a servant has a servant. Right? And that's what Christ was. He was a servant of servants, and we are to be servants of servants as well. And it says, being found in fashion of man, He humbled Himself. And He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted Him and gave Him a name which is above every name. If you behave like this, if you have the mind of Christ, you're gonna be the seed of Abraham, and you're gonna be heir according to the promise. Jesus Christ behaved Himself in the proper manner, and God raised Him up and gave Him honor and glory. And that's what will happen for us. Romans 13 tells us another thing we need to put on. that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. This is not talking about getting saved and our salvation is getting closer to getting, we're getting saved. This has to do with the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it says our salvation is nearer than when we first were saved. And we need to remember that. If you've forgotten that Jesus Christ is coming soon, you need to refresh your memory. Why? Because that would allow you to become more urgent in the things that matter. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. If you're living a shady life, you need to get rid of that shady life. And let us put on the armor of light. Here again, getting rid of the darkness and putting on armor of light, protection. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chambering or wantonness, not in strife or envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You do these things that are against the armor of light and putting on of Christ, you will disqualify yourself from a heavenly inheritance. You'll be written out of the will. You will lose your inheritance. Being addicted to drunkenness means that you will have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. And so therefore we need to put on the armor of light, get away from the darkness, put on the armor of light, and put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in Galatians chapter 3 verse 28, it says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. What this is saying is, it doesn't make any difference if you're male or female, a slave, in other words, in slavery, whether you are a Jew or a Greek, we all have the same opportunity to rule and reign with Christ Jesus. That's what this is talking about. Because in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, the deeper knowledge, after the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. Now this is not talking about in all. Christ isn't in everything. He's not in the trees. He's not in every human being. He's not there. Christ is at the right hand of the Father. And Christ has to do, in being in me, it has to do with the mind of Christ. It has to do with putting off the flesh, the old man, and putting on the new. That's the mind of Christ. And this is the Christ that is in those. Well, verse 12 tells us, put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. Christ is in those who have bowels of mercy. Christ is in those who have bowels of kindness, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, forgiving. When I read this, I thought about the fruits of the Abba Spirit, love, joy, peace. This is the fruit of the Abba Spirit. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Well, what a fruit that is. What a fruit you could be and have in doing that. It's forgiving others. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness or completeness. So, closing with verse 39 or 29 in Galatians 3, it says, if ye be of Christ, that's in the genitive case, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you've immersed yourself in Christ, if you have put on Christ, if you put off the old man and put on the new man, and you have reckoned yourselves dead indeed to sin, and you have died to self, then you know what? You're heirs according to the promise. You're of Abraham's seed, and you can have a heavenly inheritance according to the promise. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be a child, be a lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. If you're under tutors and governors, you're not of Christ. You have not been baptized or immersed in Christ. You're still dealing with the old man. And you're having to have someone tell you to quit drinking, quit becoming a drunk. You need to stop that. You need to quit stealing. You need to quit cursing, using foul language. You need to resist lust and pornography and all the things that go with that. If you are under tutors, you're not of Christ. When you have moved from being under tutors and governors and schoolmasters, then you're living like Christ. You're having the mind of Christ. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. When you're a child and living like a child, you're under bondage. And Jesus Christ has delivered us from that. Galatians 4, verses 4 through 6. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem the children that were under the law, that we might receive sonship, or we might be placed in a position of a son. And when you're placed in a position of a son at the judgment seat of Christ, what goes with that? Honor, a crown, 10 cities, 5 cities, whatever the Lord has for you, for us or for you. And in verse 6, and because ye have put on Christ, ye are sons, or behaving as a son, and God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. When you're living like a son, you don't mind saying, not my will, but thine be done. And when you can say that, you're living like a son. When you have to insist upon God giving you what you want, you're living like a kid, and you're in bondage, and you have not put on Christ, and you're not living by faith, and you're not pleasing God. May God help us to put on Christ and live like Him and have His mind as well. Father, I just pray that You'd bless the message to each of our hearts. We pray, Lord, You'd help us to apply this message in such a way as that it would glorify the Father and the Son. We know, Lord, that You are honored when we obey, when we respond, when we take action in our life to put off the old man and responsibly put on the new man, which is renewed after the deeper knowledge of Your Word. So, Lord, we do pray that You'd help us to put on Christ by living a life that is well-pleasing to You. For it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.